Hey, attainable listeners, wishing everyone a happy new year. This is our first interview of 2021, so excited to kick off the new year. I am Amy Powell, and for those of you who are new to the Attainable podcast and don't know me yet, I am a life and happiness coach. I specialize in supporting individuals who are feeling unfulfilled in their careers and help them to cultivate their true happiness within so they can enjoy their day-to-day and live a fulfilled and joyful life. I am founder at Attainable, and today I'm your host here at the Attainable podcast. In today's episode, I am speaking with Kendra Korkus, financial advisor at Northwestern Mutual Wealth Management Company. I couldn't think of a better subject for us to kick off the new year with. 2020 forced many of us to come up with new and creative ways to make money, pivoting in new careers, tapping into new passions, all of the things. And as we continue to ride this wave, Kendra is here to give us solid perspective on two seemingly scary topics, budgeting and financial planning. Kendra gets deep with us on budgeting. She talks about misconceptions about working with a financial planner, and she also shares tips with how we can get set up for our 2021 and future planning goals. Hopefully, we'll all get some great tips from Kendra to take with us today. Let's go. Hey, Kendra.
Hey, Amy.
Welcome to the Attainable podcast. So good to have you on the show.
Thanks so much. I'm so happy to be here and thank you for having me.
Today, you're going to talk with us about one of the most important yet intimidating topics, which is our finances and financial planning.
Yeah, it is definitely an area that I have a lot of passion behind.
Awesome. We need you. We need you. To set the tone, I'm going to ask you a question that you recently asked in a talk that I attended. The question that you asked was, what's your first memory of money?
Yeah, I love this question. And I love asking my clients this question too, because it just brings up your childhood and, you know, what that memory means to you. So for me, I have a few different memories of money. The first I'll mention is fake money. So I was big into board games with my family, and Monopoly was a huge game in our family that we loved to play. And I always wanted to be the banker. That was like my job. And so having the opportunity to play with my family and just having the idea and knowledge around what Monopoly taught you in terms of just money in general, even though it was fake, buying property and all of those things that the game taught you was really, really fun. I'll also say that my sister and I received an allowance when we were younger. And so in terms of physical money, that was probably one of my first memories. We had a chart that we had all of these duties that we did around the house to help my mom out, and we would get an allowance every week. And so that was fun money that we could utilize for things that we wanted.
And I have to ask, did you win in Monopoly a lot?
To be honest, I don't remember. I remember it just being a game that just would go on and on. And sometimes right. Just kind of give up. but it was always fun. And I know that my immediate family and extended family, we played it a lot.
So fun. Yeah, I totally hear you on it going forever. Whoever has the most amount of money at this point is the winner.
Right. Exactly.
I love those memories. And how did that then bubble up to where you are today?
So I graduated in 2007 and with a psychology and communication degree. I did not go to school for finance or business. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And so after I graduated, I started in the banking industry. And I worked my way up in the banking industry, working for a few different companies. And I got a little bit tired with the banking industry. So then I applied and got a job for a small boutique investment firm where I was able to get my licenses, my Series 6 and 63. And I learned a lot about the stock market and just working with clients in terms of financial planning. I worked with a couple advisors for 7 years, and that really brought a lot of knowledge for myself in the type of business and practice that I have today. As I continue to grow and gain more knowledge, I ended up moving to going back to banking and working for another company when I moved to New York City about 4 years ago and got my insurance license. So life insurance and disability insurance and health insurance. And that was just another added layer to the type of financial planning that I do today. I would say that all of that knowledge and just experience that I've received from the different companies that I've worked at, both small business and corporate, has allowed me to be able to be the type of business owner that I want to be and help my clients.
When you think about how you help clients or what maybe are the top three things you're helping clients with, what are those?
I work with a company called Northwestern Mutual, and our philosophy is looking at planning in three different steps. So protection is the huge foundational step. That's where we're talking about really starting from scratch, the budget, emergency savings account, risk management planning for life and disability insurance. We're also talking about debt. So if there is existing debt or liabilities on their balance sheet, talking about optimizing that strategically, how can we pay that down so that we can free up money for other goals? And then growing our assets or any additional planning that the client has done. And that can be anywhere from goals for saving for a home, saving for retirement, or any other savings goal that the clients would have that we want to work towards for the future.
That's great. And it seems very sound in the sense of you're not, you know, it's a step-by-step process, right? You're not overhauling things. It's what are you working with now? And I'm sure goals are different for everyone, right? Not everyone wants to own a home.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's really catered to the client and what's a priority for them right now. When someone comes to me, I want to know, like, what is your priority? What are you reaching out to an advisor for? Or how are we introduced? And what can I help you with? What's on your mind? What are some of the things you've been thinking about? Do we need to provide more education? Which is usually the case, right? Because most people have never spoken to an advisor before and they just don't know what to expect. So having those conversations and then helping them with the need that they feel like is a priority first. And then going back to the other planning areas where I know that we can be a resource for them and introducing those topics to them, see if it's something that they want to also touch on.
Let's talk about debt for a minute. Because, you know, when I think about finances and happiness and just being content in our day-to-day, clearly right now is a time where a lot of us are online shopping. More so than ever, right? And it's so easy to purchase things quickly as an impulse purchase. And when you think about having credit card debt, it's very easy to forget about any type of goals when there's something so easy to purchase online in front of you when you're scrolling, right? And when you think about debt, how do you, well, first off, set the tone in terms of college debt, and just in general debt that you've seen and dealt with, do you find that most clients have some type of debt? And what type of debt is that, if so?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. Most clients do have some sort of debt, whether that be student loans, credit cards, a car loan, a mortgage, right? It's not often that I come across clients that don't have something. And so when we're talking about that type of debt, it's different for everyone, right? If we're thinking more about student loans and a mortgage, that's more considered good debt because you're investing in yourself and you're meant to get a return out of that. Whereas credit card debt is really not good debt because it's more like bad debt because of the higher interest rate. And it takes people time if there is a balance that's rolling over each month to pay that off. As opposed to if they have credit cards and they're paying it off every month, then it's fine. But people get into trouble because, like you mentioned, especially now, there's a lot of spending going on online. And so if the client doesn't feel disciplined enough to stick to their budget, which is so important, then they're going to find that that balance is going to rack up and it may feel overwhelming. And that's where a lot of the anxiety and the nervousness around money and feeling shame is huge. People really don't feel good about credit card debt, but they just don't know how to switch their mindset and think about it differently.
How do you think we got into this debt predicament? When the way I was taught was, if you have money or the money to buy it, you buy it and then you pay off the credit card. So there's never a sense of, I'm going into something knowing I can't pay for this, but I'm going to put it on my credit card anyway. Mm-hmm. And I feel very, very fortunate to have learned that at such an early age. However, our society, the American society, that's not necessarily the teaching, and or we've gotten so far away from that fundamental, if you have the money, buy it. If you don't, don't. Why is that?
Another great question. I think it's great that your parents, you know, took it upon themselves to teach you that philosophy around debt. I think the biggest thing is lack of education. If you don't have that example set before you, whether it be your parents, grandparents, another adult, you know, school system, like no one is teaching us how to manage our money. And so if you don't know, you know, what to do, if you find yourself applying for a credit card and then you're just, you know, taking advantage of it, not really understanding how it works, or not being disciplined enough to really and be mindful enough to know how it works. I think that that is a big deal, the lack of education. I also feel that just Americans in our society, we are very much impulse spenders, right? You had mentioned that before. And so we know that we can get credit fairly easily. And so people take advantage of that and they know that they want to live a certain lifestyle or have certain things, but they may not be making enough money to support that. And that really gets lost when people are thinking about, you know, what they want to spend their money on, because they're really not thinking about, am I bringing in the income to support this? They don't usually think about it until after, when they have, you know, a high minimum balance and they have to pay it off and they now can't afford it.
How many clients have come to you and have said, yes, I know what a budget is. Do I have a budget is a good question. Or do I stick to my budget is a good question. Talk to us about budgeting and, you know, what have you seen out there around people having budgets and sticking to them?
I think it's very rare for a single individual or couple or family to come to me and already have a budget preset. Usually, in most cases, I'm going through a budget with them for the first time, or they're making enough money where they're more disciplined in terms of their spending and they don't feel that they really need a budget. They know that they're not overspending and they have a surplus within their account. But I do feel that it's so important to be mindful and bring awareness around your spending habits, because that is a way for us to really have a visual of what we can do with the money that we have for the future goals that we're working towards.
I agree. A lot of the time, and I've done this so much, where I know I can't necessarily afford it, or I know I'm going to be tapping into my savings, right? But I really want it. What are some tips you have, and maybe what do you do? How do you practice when you know that it's not in your weekly or monthly budget? How do you stop yourself from making those purchases or those decisions?
I think it really depends on the person. In terms of going outside of your budget, I always like to tell my clients to think about the purchase that you're making in the moment, and is it absolutely a necessity or is it more of a want, right? The need versus the want, and having that conversation with yourself and being aware that if you are going to move money from your savings account, what is it worth to you? Like, is this, are you spending money on something that is going to give you a return on something? Are you investing in yourself? Or are you spending frivolously on like a new pair of shoes, right? Like, what is the concrete purpose of what you're spending money on? And is it going to do anything for you? Or can you wait a month or two until you have the funds available and then purchase it then?
Patience. That's such a tough one.
Yeah, I think patience is hard for everyone. And it just comes back down to that discipline too, right? Because we are impulse buyers. As Americans, we're impulse buyers. And, you know, the media and just society kind of pushes that upon us in terms of just marketing and media. And so it's really, you really have to find that discipline within yourself and know that, you know, is this something that I want or don't want right now? And what is it going to do for me in my future?
I think about happiness and is it something that is going to make you happy right now? However, will it make you unhappy in the future because you get your credit card statement and you're like, oh shoot, I shouldn't have bought that. Now I feel really bad.
Right.
Or, you know, regret of buying something.
Yeah, there's that guilt factor, right? And then you start to feel bad and you go down the shame spiral and you really wish that you did things differently, right? And then that just develops the same kind of pattern that can happen over and over again. You're feeling those same feelings. And people just don't know how to get out of that sometimes. They need some guidance and someone to talk to help them get through it.
I think the support and just especially around our purchases and sometimes with clients, I'll go through their bank statement. Even personally, I'll go through my bank statement and look at, okay, what was this purchase? And then you think back on it and you're like, oh yeah, I shouldn't have really bought that. Or, you know, I wasn't really hungry, but I ended up ordering, you know, a bunch of things, or I got takeout and I didn't need it. It is a really almost cathartic experience to go through and look at what you've purchased, because then you can know that feeling on the other side and hopefully remember that feeling of, wait, do I really need this? How am I going to feel when I look at my bank statement in a week?
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree.
So when it comes to financial planning, what are common misconceptions or bad habits that you've seen either clients or that you've maybe personally experienced that you've changed?
Well, in terms of misconceptions, I'll say first and foremost that I'll have people come to me and we'll have a conversation and then they'll be like, okay, well, how much does this cost? And I want to put out there that not every company or not every advisor has a fee to have a conversation. So my practice and the company I work with, we don't charge anything extra for our financial planning services. And I love that because it's free education. Like, this is something that I know that I can help you with. And if you decide to become a client, that's great. But if not, that's fine too. And hopefully, you know, you'll think of me in the future if something comes up, or you'll refer me to a friend or family of yours that you think I could be helpful to. So that's a big misconception. I also think that people feel really overwhelmed and ashamed if they have like bad patterns around money and they procrastinate. So that is a big bad habit that people will just put it off. And then something happens, right? You'll see in terms of, especially when it comes to insurance planning, unfortunately things happen, right? Life happens, and you'll find that if they didn't do the planning up front, that it will be catastrophic to them financially after that tragic event happens. And people will look back in hindsight and say, you know, I wish I did things a little bit differently, or I wish I bought more insurance, or whatever the case is for them. So procrastination is huge.
Yeah. Okay. So listeners, if you're thinking anywhere around financial planning, hit up Kendra. Get on it now.
Thank you.
Yes. So we are just starting 2021. We have been through a pandemic. We are
making it through. Is there any advice you'd give us for the start of the year and what we should be thinking about, or anything maybe you're thinking about that you advise for us?
So many things in a fresh start that the new year brings, which I love. So in terms of your money habits, I think this is a really great time for you to sit down, whether it be with by yourself or with your spouse and family, and go through your budget. Budgeting at the beginning of the year, and especially if you're a business owner too, getting that money management, everything put together is really important. A lot of business owners will take this time in January to gather all of their tax information, all of their receipts, everything that you'll need to be prepared to bring to your tax consultant or your accountant. That's really important. And then I also think January 2021 is a great time for us to really sit down and think about our goals. What do we want to focus on for the year to be able to, you know, personally and financially, that we want to accomplish? So I think it's always important to make sure you have short-term, midterm, and long-term goals, not only for your personal goals, but financial goals. So if your savings is at a specific amount at the beginning of the year, what do you want that to look like at the end of the year? That should be a goal for you. If there are certain things that you've been pushing off that you want to make sure are taken care of this year, what do those look like? How much money do you want to be setting aside in your 401k or, you know, putting into an IRA for your retirement? Revisiting all those things is such a great time to do it in, you know, in January.
I love that. Things do change too. And even, you know, me personally, looking back on the last year, I really do enjoy traveling, but that was money that I was saving. Where was that money going though, right? Where was I diverting it to? Did I save it or did I spend it in other ways? Reestablishing, do I need to be spending that money how I did? And do I want to be putting it towards something else?
Absolutely. And I do think too, the pandemic has really allowed people to revisit their budget and look at the discretionary expenses that they were spending their money on. And discretionary meaning things that are not really necessary, more like your fun money, you know, the subscriptions, the dining out, the hobbies, the vacations, right? What are you spending your money on that you don't necessarily need? It's more like a want. And great point, Amy. I mean, you know, we haven't been doing a lot of those things. So where has that money been going? Has it been going into a savings account or have we been spending it on something else? And just bringing more awareness to those types of things.
Specifically talking about happiness and just being content in life. When we think about short-term, mid-term, long-term planning, really for our overall well-being as an individual and our overall happiness, I could assume that the short-term things are, you know, of course we want those now because they affect us directly now and we experience them now. But really, what should we be focusing on in terms of planning? And maybe is it taking money from short-term and putting it more to long-term? How should we be thinking about that when we think about our overall contentment in life?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think your happiness has a lot to do with you feeling content about your finances. And a lot of people correlate that to their lifestyle and their contentment with life. And so I think it's important to really focus on those short-term goals first. We should all have something that we're working towards that's more immediate, because that's going to create a win for us, and it's going to create more confidence. And that confidence will lead to feeling good and feeling happy about our current situation, whatever that may be. And then depending on what that goal is, so let's just take, for example, an emergency fund, which is important. We typically recommend to have 3 to 6 months of expenses set aside in a savings account. If you don't have that, that is your immediate goal. And until that is funded and you feel good about it, then we wouldn't be looking at moving towards the next step, like saving for retirement in other ways that you maybe already have started.
And that goes back to the beginning of our conversation of just, you know, this, what steps need to get in place now to get you set up. That's great. So tell us, what are you working on now, or maybe any initiatives that you want us to know about?
Right now, it's just a busy time. I think that with the pandemic, people are really thinking more about their finances. And my goal is just to help as many people and families that I can. And so I've been fairly busy with talking to a lot of people, you know, all across the country who are looking for some assistance and guidance in both the insurance and investment side of planning. So I don't have too much outside of that, but just continuing to help my clients and future clients in getting on track towards financial security.
And again, just a plug that your services are free to chat with you and to get advice and consult from you. I think that's amazing opportunity for people to understand what is possible for them without having a price tag associated to it.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Where can listeners find you if they want to get in touch, if they want to speak with you directly?
So I am on LinkedIn. You can find me there for sure. Kendra Korkus. I also have a website at kendrakorkus.nm.com, or you can email me at kendra.korkus@nm.com.
Awesome. Great. And I will include those in the show notes so people can find those easily. And I'll ask you our last question for today. What is one action listeners can take today to be more content and fulfilled when it comes to their spending habits?
So I know we talked about this already, but I do think that budgeting is huge for people to have more awareness around. And you'll feel better after you do it, I promise you. I know that it can feel scary when you're first trying to do it for the first time, but it really is something that's going to help you and bring that awareness that you need in order to better understand your spending habits and how much money you have available to work on the other goals that you're working towards.
I do agree that budgeting is scary, but when you think about what the other side is of all of a sudden really being put in a situation where you have no money, you know, or just really don't have any idea of where either your money is going or how much is coming in. Think about that, because that's an even more scary circumstance.
Yeah. That just correlates to, you know, people procrastinating and not feeling good about having those types of conversations, right? We've been taught that money is like a taboo topic to be talking about or thinking about. And my goal with my clients is to break that and for people to feel more comfortable in, you know, the decisions that they're making.
That's great. Okay. Budget. Start of the year. There's no excuse.
Yeah.
Love it. Kendra, thank you so much for chatting with us today. I'm walking away with some great tips. I hope our listeners are too.
Awesome. I appreciate it, Amy. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be on your podcast today.
Kendra encourages us to approach budgeting and money management as a positive way to achieve our goals instead of a scary task we allow ourselves to put off year after year. She reminds us that our happiness has a lot to do with our finances, and I couldn't agree more. Regardless of how much money we're making, Kendra empowers us to get comfortable with how much money we have coming in, where that money is going, and what changes we may need to put in place to achieve our short-term, mid-term, and long-term financial goals. And if you need help making personal sense of all of this, I'll remind you that Kendra offers free financial advising and planning. I'm dropping her email in the show notes, so there's no excuse to start fresh in 2021. Let's all get excited about our financial goals and start by creating a budget for this year. Let's go.